Victory over rebellion and temptation. Now then, work your way through this with me. I think it's important really to understand some of these things in detail. And this is fundamental, really. It's a foundational teaching. Rebellion is opposition to authority, and spiritual rebellion is opposition to spiritual authority. Rebellion against God's rules was humanity's first sin, and it continues to be at the core of humanity's problems. Sinful people often don't want to bow to authority, and often especially to God's authority. We can see, for example, in the biblical book of Genesis that we read about mankind's first rebellion. And it says in Genesis 3:3, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Interesting, you know, people always gravitate about the fact that the fruit was eaten, but God says also, don't touch it. And we don't ever mention about the touching of it. Well, what comes before you eat the fruit? You touch it. In other words, don't get close to the thing. That's a temptation. Flee from it. We all remember Joseph, Potiphar's wife. Flee from it. Flee, run away from temptation. If there's something in your life that's a temptation for you, flee from the thing. Don't touch it even. Mankind went the way of sin, and today, right from birth onwards, people gravitate towards rebellion and sin. You don't need to teach the children to be naughty, do you? We talked about that last week. This rebellion separates us from God. And when we rebel against God, the Bible teaches that there are serious consequences. Romans 6:23 explains to us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when people choose to yield to rebellion rather than God's will for their lives, they embrace temptation and sin abounds. And this is the route that the enemy tries to get us on. It starts with rebellion. There's rebellion in us. It's just there. And that rebellion can lead to temptation. It's not always rebellion that leads to temptation, because Jesus was tempted and there was no rebellion in Jesus. But rebellion can lead to temptation, which can be resisted, but if not, it leads to sin, which then leads to defeat in life and people living defeated lives. But God's will is a yielding. Now then, a yielding as opposed to rebellion. If we look at the world, we look at people in the world, ultimately we can boil it down to two polarized positions. Either people are yielded to God or they're in rebellion against God. Really, those are the two positions. There's either rebellion against God or a yielding to God. Yielding to God means that our lives have prayer in them, they have Bible study in them, they have worship in them, and they have fellowship in them, Christian fellowship, as we have here this morning. Very important part of the Christian life. And the small groups, which we've heard about just now, and the forms are in the hallway, very important. They're not just an additional extra. I think that they are a central core of this church now. When we start those small groups, they will be a central call, because it's from those small groups that the fellowship takes place. And when we're in quality fellowship one with another, we can, you know, pick up the phone each other. What are you doing? Come round. Let's have a chat. Let's read the Bible. Let's talk. And that has to be the core. And by the way, those small groups, I really don't, if you're a small group leader, listen to me, please listen to me, because I'm going to be asking all the small group leaders, I don't want people going into the houses, and I'm not going to be in the houses, so I won't know, but I'm telling everyone, I don't want people going into the houses and then there's just going to be drifting into a little chat and a cup of tea, and we're meant to start at 7 o'clock, but it doesn't start at 7. It doesn't matter. We're having a nice time. It's 20 past 7. And no. No, we don't want that. It's a trick of the enemy. If we say we're going to start at 7 o'clock, we're going to start at 7 o'clock. We're going to be exact on it. And if we say the meetings are going to have, and I have provided a schedule for those meetings of what should take place. There should be some worship, there should be some prayer, there should be some Bible study, and there should be conversation, questions and answers. And that needs to take up the time of the meeting. What happens afterwards? Fine. But from 7 o'clock, let's say if it's 7 o'clock, to 8:30, that's the schedule. We're going to stick to that schedule, because so many times small groups and house groups drift into just a little chit chat, and they become a holy huddle. We don't want holy huddles. We don't want that. That would be wrong. That would be rebellion. Okay, so we don't want that. What we want is yielding to the schedule that we set, which is a disciplined schedule. This is very important. You know, I tell people who are especially charismatic people, you know, they say, oh, we're led by the Holy Spirit. They always say they're led. Oh, we're being led by the Holy Spirit. Actually, the Holy Spirit is very disciplined. The Holy Spirit is very disciplined, you know. Anything in life that's really worth something, I find it has discipline connected to it. You look at the great musicians. You know, people think of, you know, there was a man called Bob Marley. He became a Christian, you know. Bob Marley became a Christian in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And, you know, people think, oh, yeah, well, that's just a, you know, that was so... Listen, one of the most disciplined people, highly disciplined individual. You think of any musicians, very disciplined. But you think of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, he arrives on time. The time of the Jewish prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit arrives. Isn't that something? Recorded in the book of Acts. Jesus Christ, from the cross itself, yields his last, surrenders himself at the time of the Jewish prayer, 3 o'clock. Right throughout the New Testament, we can see that those hours of prayer are evident. And so for us, discipline is part of this. The yielding to the Lord, as opposed to rebellion. So, yielding, prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship, speaking in accordance with the word of God, victory. Because what happens is this, when we are in prayer, when we're in Bible study, when we're in worship, and when we're in fellowship, the words that we speak are very important. And the words that we speak, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The words then ought to manifest what's going on the inside. The scriptures tell us that we all face temptations, brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. We're also taught that Christ was also tempted. Jesus was tempted. And it says in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Where then do the temptations come from? First of all, they don't come from God, although he does allow them. James 1:13 says, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. We also see in the book of James 1:14 that temptation originates in the human nature. We are tempted when we are carried away and enticed by our own lust. So there's things in ourselves, there's rebellion in ourselves. It creates temptation, it creates desire, and that then is trying to take us the way of sin. We can allow ourselves to think certain thoughts, to go places we should not go, and to make decisions that lead us into temptation. In addition, the enemy shoots fiery darts into believers' minds. Sometimes, you know, I have had thoughts, and I think to myself, why on earth would I have a thought like that? Well, you know, it's not me who thought it. It's the enemy who shot it. It's not me. It's the enemy who shot that thought into my mind. So I'm not going to take ownership of something that the enemy has shot into my mind. What I am going to do is remember that the Bible says that I must have a shield of faith up. And so I'm going to use my shield of faith to stop those fiery arrows from coming. I'm going to talk about that in a few moments' time. But I want us to recognize, well, let me read it now. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith by which we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we're told that we should quench those fiery darts when they come shooting in to our mind. But how do we resist the temptations on an ongoing basis? How does that manifest in our lives then? How do we do that? Well, first of all, we learn from the example of Jesus. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan in Matthew 4, 1 to 11. And each of Satan's temptations used Bible verses out of context. So the enemy comes with Bible verses, sometimes even out of context. Just think of that. People will come, they'll quote the Bible even to you, but it's out of context. Ah, but it's the Bible. Yeah, but it's out of context. You see? But they're quoting the Bible. And if people are naive and aren't skilled and haven't been students of the Word, because it's in the Bible, well, it must be right because it's in the Bible. No, my friend. Satan himself used the Bible to tempt the Lord Jesus. Do you think he wouldn't do the same with us? You say, well, how can I know? Well, guess what? You've been called to study. Ah, but it's not my thing. Well, you perhaps need to make a change and make it your thing. Are you with me this morning? Because, you see, he's called us to that. It's no good saying, well, you know, it's just not my... It's not a case of it being your thing. It may not be your thing. Yielding to God isn't your natural thing. Living this Christian life isn't our natural thing. None of it's our natural thing. It's not a question of that. It's a question of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And we've been called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Who cares if it's your thing? Of course it's not your thing. It's no one's thing. But we've been called into a battle as a soldier. And we've been called to equip ourselves and study the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. If you want to be approved, study. You better study. And not studying any old nonsense. Studying the Word of God. Not studying the theories of some even Bible schools, of which there are some nonsense theories, nonsense doctrines. I mean, there's so much nonsense going on now. The enemy has flooded the market with nonsense. My friends, go straight to the Word of God. Straight to the Bible. Study the Bible. Study the Scriptures. Jesus answered the enemy because he knew the truth of the scriptures in context. And Jesus answered the enemy when he was tempted, "It is written. It is written." Then the appropriate scripture followed, which was in context. This is a vital key to victory and must be emphasized within the church of the Lord Jesus. The enemy will try to use the Bible out of context to tempt people. Just look at the millions of people now who are in the Christian cults, as they call them. These cults that claim the Bible as their authority. So many of them around the world. Millions and millions of people in these cults. I have family members on one side of my family in the Christadelphian Church. So many of them on that side of the family in the Christadelphian Church. Just taken away with strange teachings. But it happened because someone wasn't studying the word in context, wasn't being led by the Holy Spirit, studying in context and being safe because of that. It keeps us safe. It keeps our household safe. Keeps our children, our loved ones protected. It's a vital thing for us to do. Because there's power in this word. It's not an ordinary book. This isn't, we're not studying for the sake of theory. We're studying because this is the truth. The truth of mankind. The truth of Almighty God. This isn't just a theory. Oh, this is an interesting history that we can have a little chat about over coffee. No, my friends. This is Almighty God and His Word, His true Word for us. And this affects our reality. Do you think of how marvelous it is? I was a Bible college student and Bible college graduate with my degree, my honors degree in theology. And I didn't have a clue about healing. No idea that healing could be for us today. It wasn't something we'd even considered. Hardly. And when I read it in the scripture, and when I took it on board as being appropriate for today, when I'd checked all the avenues, I thought, well, this is for today then. It must be for today. Well, guess what? I started then to receive healing and started to minister healing to other people because the Bible set me straight. So you see, there's power through our understanding of the scripture. Great power potential. But I was living before that without any of that power potential because I hadn't accepted what the word taught. The devil left him. When Jesus answered three times the temptations of the enemy, and he answered him the same way, it is written in the end, verse 11 of Matthew 4 says that the devil left him. This is why it's essential that believers study the word of God also. We need to use the Bible to resist those temptations. And in this way, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans 12:2, and living the victorious life that we've been called to live. In Ephesians 6, we read the following very important instructions. Come with me, please, to Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. My friends, have you ever considered that we are involved in this wrestling match then? We are involved in a wrestling match. This is written present tense of all us who are Christians. And if we've put on the full armor of God, which I believe most of us should have done, then we don't take it off. You don't need to take it off. Once you put it on, you put it on. Put it on for good. We've put on the whole armor of God for a reason, that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the wiles of the devil, they're coming against you and your family. Do you love your children? Do you love your grandchildren? Do you love your family members and your friends? Do you love them? If you love them, then you have to then be studying in order to resist against the wiles of the devil. This is what the Bible is teaching. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Notice our wrestling match is against principalities. It's against powers. That's the second one. There's another one coming, look. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. The Christian is being buffeted around in this country, around the world. Why is it the Christians that are being buffeted? Why is it the church that's being persecuted? Why are the Christians so persecuted? Because they're the ones who are wrestling against those powers, those forces, those principalities. They're not bothered about anyone else. Because anyone else, if you're not following Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, then you're outside of the kingdom. And you're on the enemy's side. So they don't need to fuss with them. But it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the ones that they come against. Because that's the threat. Clearly, believers are called then to be engaged in spiritual warfare and at a significant level. The main offensive weapon here in the list is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can you see that? It's this weapon which silences the enemy. It's no good getting emotional. Oh, I know I get emotional at times. You know me well enough. That's just my emotion. But you know, that doesn't really move things. No, it's not emotion. You know, you, some places, you know, you see, you know, there was a prayer line and there's this chap, he was praying for someone in a prayer line. What's the problem? I'm having headaches occasionally. In the name of Jesus, now minister healing in Jesus' name to you. And going along the line. And now this person over here, what's your problem? Oh, I've got cancer in the stomach. Cancer in the stomach. In the mighty name of... As if that makes any difference. Sorry, the babies. The babies are okay, actually, aren't they? Yeah, they're good. But you know, the loud voice doesn't do it. You think that scares the enemy? You think that changes anything? No, my friends. Doesn't change a thing. No. What changes is the faith that's behind, which is involved in the prayer. So it's okay. You know, sometimes people get emotional. But listen, it's not about emotions. No. It's about what's behind that. And so, you know, we have to be skillful and we have to be wise and we have to say, right, well, how do I then engage so that there's power? Well, we have to be in faith. Well, how do I get in faith? Well, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Well, how does that happen? Well, spending time with God. Because it's when it says faith comes by hearing by the word of God, it's the spoken word of God. It's God speaking to us. How does God speak to us? He speaks to us when we spend time with him. When we're in meetings like this, God is speaking to us. And when we're praying to God, when we're reading the scriptures, that's how God is speaking to us. That's how faith comes. And that's how then there's power as we're being used by God. So the main offensive weapon here in the list in Ephesians is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And that's the weapon that Jesus Christ used against Satan. Now think about that. That's the weapon that Jesus used against Satan. When Satan came to tempt Jesus Christ, Jesus answered with the word of God. Now, I promise, because the Bible promises it, every day is enough trouble of its own. How are we answering the attacks of the enemy and the trouble that comes? How do we answer it? We can't answer it with emotion. You see, some people cry before God and they, oh, God, help me, help me. Oh, please help me. The enemy's come again. Oh, no, I'm under an attack. I'm under an attack. I don't know what to do. Oh, I don't know what's going on. God says, listen, I've told you what to do, but you in your rebellion are refusing to listen. I've got patience, he says, but please stop rebelling. Listen to what I'm saying. He says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. How do I submit to God? Well, I live in prayer. I live studying the word. I live being in fellowship with my brothers and sisters. And that's how I submit my life to God. I submit my mind to God. I say, I'm not interested in the reality of what's around. I'm interested in what the Bible says. I will let that dictate to me what my reality or my understanding of reality should be. But you say, well, that's not natural. That's right. But that's what the scriptures are saying. That's what they're teaching us to do. This is what Jesus says when he says to us that we can speak to a mountain and have it removed. What is he saying? He's saying there's another dimension for the believer to enter in. It's a powerful dimension. But we don't enter it by emotions. We enter it by faith. We enter it by yielding our lives and submitting to what the word of God is really saying. And I noticed that there were three steps, really, as I was putting this together, this Bible study that we're looking at this morning. I noticed that there were three steps that really I wanted to share. Number one, know the word of God. Jesus was able to quote the word of God back to the enemy when he was being tempted because he knew the word of God. So knowing the word of God is step one. Step two is to use the word of God by speaking according to the word of God. Now that is a very big exercise because we're so used to speaking our own way. We just speak how we feel, you know. You know, men, you know, I'll just use myself as an example. Micah is sitting here. She knows me well. I feel as if I'm getting a cold coming on. Oh, I just feel. Now, I know you other men, you're not like this, are you? Oh, Micah, I feel like there's a cold. I just don't feel well. And I'm probably more melodramatic than most. I have a tendency towards that. I walk in the kitchen. I better have an apple. I better feed the cold, starve the fever. What is it, Micah? Feed the cold, starve the fever. Micah, have you got some food, Micah? This is what I'm like. Hands up, men, if you've ever been like this. Yes. You see, Carlos, your hand has been put up for you. That's yours. You know, Pete is just stoic, you know, he's just sitting down stoic. But your wife isn't here. If she was here, perhaps. Pastor Dennis as well. I don't know. I'm not sure. But the thing is, we have a tendency, men, to be a little bit like that. I've heard this from ladies all the time, you know. Ladies, am I right? I've heard this. Maybe not with everyone. Maybe there's exceptions. But I'm guilty. I put myself in that. But here's the thing. I've known a better way. And the better way is to say, I'm not going to go with my feelings. I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to speak what the Word of God says. And I'm now going to enter into that realm of faith. I can do all things through Christ, which is the anointing of Jesus Christ, which resides on the inside. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, the anointing that strengthens me, which is the anointing of Jesus on the inside. I can speak to my mountain. In this case, it may be a mountain of sickness trying to get hold of me. I have the option of speaking to that mountain. The New Testament gives me that option. Jesus Christ, the one who I call my Lord and my Savior, has given me the option to speak to that mountain. Are you with me? The question is, will I? So point number two is to use the Word of God by speaking according to it. Let the words of my mouth be in accordance with what the Word of God says. And point number three, avoid speaking words that nullify the Word of God. So if I'm speaking out, for example, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for my healing. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Despite the evidence even. Thank you, Father God. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I thank you for your healing. Thank you, Father God. I'm receiving that healing. Now look, there has to be a revelation of this before you really walk in this. So I can't give you this in a sermon. I can tell you about my experience. I can provide notes, but I can't give you a revelation of this. You have to receive it for yourself. I just know that when I received this and I started to walk in this, I found this to be true. So, for example, many times when there's been something that's gone wrong, let's say in the physical, in my body, I've just yielded to God and I've said, no, I'm not having that. Thank you, Father God, for my healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for my healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. I thank you. I worship you. I honor you. And I praise you for my healing in Jesus' wonderful name. And I just plow into that. Just dive straight into that whole realm and just thank him. And just bolster myself up with those scriptures that talk about healing and faith. Now, speaking then in accordance with the Word of God. Do you see? That's what we're doing then, which is how Jesus answered the temptations that came to him. The primary, and avoid speaking words that nullify the Word of God. So then, you know, we have expressions in this country like, you know, I'm getting a cold. I'm getting a cold. I'm catching the flu. I've got my usual time of the year problems, whether it be hay fever or something like that. You know, oh, this is the time of the year that I get hay fever. I always get hay fever this time of the year. Well, listen, if that's what you're speaking, okay, you'll receive that. You receive it. If that's what you want to speak out, you receive that. But if you try speaking out in faith, I am not going to receive that hay fever anymore in Jesus' name. Go on, stretch yourself, stretch your faith. Oh yeah, but it's just you don't know me. Yes, I do know you because I'm the same. I'm the same. We've all experienced this. But it's a question of saying, well, I'm going to yield my life to what the Bible's teaching. or I can just be sloppy and go with the flow. I don't want to go with the flow. All the world is talking like that. That's the way the world talks. But it's not the way the Bible teaches we should talk. In fact, Jesus says this. Jesus says, make sure that no idle word comes from your mouth. An idle word is a word that's non-productive, a word that doesn't produce. Jesus is teaching. Is Jesus your Lord? I heard about 5 people say yes. Is Jesus your Lord?
Yes.
Well, if he's your Lord, then listen to what he's saying, how you should speak. He says that you have to give an account for every idle word that you've spoken. What's an idle word? It's a word that doesn't produce. So, in other words, our words are meant to produce. Our words are meant to produce. Are you with me? That's why Jesus taught that we are to speak to our mountains. Your words and my words aren't normal words. They're not called to be normal. Listen, we're called priests in the scripture. We're called kings, a royal priesthood, kings and queens who are priests. Do the words of a king and queen carry weight? If they speak words out, it carries weight. Does an ambassador's words carry weight? If an ambassador speaks something out, if he's under authority and it's in the chain of command that he has, those words will be carried out because he has authority. We're called ambassadors. We're called kings and queens, a royal priesthood. Listen, our words are meant to carry authority. This is why Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, says, speak to a mountain. Faith as big as a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain. My friends, I'm not making this up. This is what Jesus says. Faith as big as a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain. And avoid speaking like everyone else out there in the world. That's not our language. Our language is a language of faith. Our language should be dictated by Jesus. It should be based along the Holy Scriptures. It's just different. Listen, I'm coming to a close this morning, but I just want us to read from the Scripture. Let me show you this verse, Matthew 12, verse 36. Matthew 12, verse 36. It's in the notes. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. An idle word is a non-productive word. In other words, our words are meant to produce. And Jesus goes on, for by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Jesus is calling to us. He tells us to speak to mountains. He tells us this is the way that for the Christian. This isn't something that I've made up. This isn't my doctrine, my friends. This is the New Testament, the covenant that we have. This is the teaching of the New Covenant. I can remember once, you know, we had friends with us this week. A couple of ministers came to visit us this week from Geneva. And the lady, she reminded me of a testimony of when we were last, or one of the times I was in Geneva speaking at the church there. And the church in Geneva has a car park underneath the church. So in the car park underneath the church, we'd had a long day full of meetings, and there was ministry, and to be honest, it was probably 9 o'clock at night. I was exhausted. I was really tired. We'd been ministering in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And I was really tired by this point. And so I just wanted to go back to where we were staying. And the car that we had was in this car park. But the person with the key was one of the ministers who was driving an hour away to someone else's house. And they just left 20 minutes before. So we now had a couple of hours to wait until they got back. No one else had a key. Everyone had gone. We were the last there, you know. So I don't want to wait for 2 hours ministering in the daytime, you know, I'm not going to wait. And so there's these big, this is, you know, a big car park underneath ground thing, and metal door, probably as wide as the, as that back there. And so I just thought, that's in the way of my car, which I have the keys for. I think there was someone driving. But, you know, we've got the keys, we've got the car there, let's get on with it. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to speak to my mountain. And she remembered the testimony, because I shared it to the church, because I was speaking the next day there. I stuck my finger in that and say, listen, you, big metal door, in my way, I'm telling you to open in Jesus' name. Open in the name of Jesus. Well, the door was locked. The door couldn't open in the natural. But you see, we're not to let the natural mind dictate what the spiritual can do. That door opened. We got in the car and drove back. Praise God. So I'm not talking theory to you, brothers and sisters. I'm not talking theory in any way. I'm talking fact. I'm talking fact. And I'm talking about all sorts of areas. I'm talking about physical areas, physical health. You know, I remember when we came, they were making a big fuss of Michael Jackson. You know, he was doing the moonwalk, you know, and they're making a big fuss of that. The moonwalk, Michael Jackson making a big fuss. Hey, we've seen limbs grow out. Forget moving backward, a little walk backward. Ooh. The moonwalk. Ooh, it's a big deal. The moonwalk. We're not playing games. We have a God who sees limbs growing out and in people cured of incurable disease, and God alive in people's lives and touching people's lives. And he wants that for you. And if you have that in your life, guess what? Your families and your loved ones, they'll have it in their lives, because you'll tell them. And then when they receive, then that multiplies, you see? And this is how the kingdom expands. This is how the gospel has its influence. But this is reality. I'm not talking theory this morning. This is the reality that we're meant to live in. We've been called to live in this reality and put a demand on it. Put a demand before God and say, Lord, I'm serving you with my life. I want my life to, I've decided to follow you. By your grace, you've drawn me in, Lord. I'm serving you, so I'm expecting this. I mean, this is an adventure of faith. This is an adventure that we can have. When we start taking this on board, everything that we do changes. Everywhere we go, everything that we speak, everything takes on a new meaning and a new opportunity. And then we start walking in the adventure of faith. I'm all for that. Otherwise, this Christianity, if it was dead ritual, if this was just a book of suggestions which we can take it or leave it, then it would be so boring. I wouldn't want to be involved. It would be boring. It would just be a front. But it's not that. It's real and it's true. And Jesus says, come and I'll give you an abundant life. I'll give you a miraculous, abundant life. I'll give you a life that has miracles in it. Amen. I've come to set the prisoners free and to give them eternal life, and a life that has the miraculous right at the front of it. The supernatural reality for day to day. The world knows nothing of this life, my friends. So we should speak differently. They should listen to us and they say, there's something. He speaks differently. He looks differently. She's different. Well, she has Jesus living in her and ministering through her. And that's why she's so different. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is the great joy that we have. This is Jesus. This is his gospel. This is his truth. My friends, I've been speaking to you this morning from the words of Jesus Christ. This isn't my gospel. This is his gospel. These are his words. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord. Thank and praise you for all that you've spoken to us this morning. Lord, the beautiful opportunity afforded to us by the gospel of Jesus, it's there. And Father, Lord, we grasp hold of that opportunity now in his holy name. Father, we take hold of the opportunity of the gospel of Jesus. And Father, Lord, we ask that your will be done in and through our lives. Each precious person here, Father, each one so precious before you this morning. Lord, I ask this, please, as we leave here, listen, my brothers and sisters, if you want to respond, every eye closed, no one looking around, please just lift your hand and respond to God this morning. If he's spoken to you this morning and you say, yes, I want to make changes here of this, things I need to change here. I've got to change the way I'm speaking. I'm going to change this thing. If that's you, respond to him this morning. Go on, respond. Lift up your hand and respond to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. So, Father, you see our hands lifted up, Lord. We are responding to you. And, Father, we're saying this, take our lives now and have your way in and through us. Father, continue to minister to us this day. And, that, Father, when we meet this evening, Father, I ask that you continue to minister to us. In Jesus' wonderful name, Lord, we take this with us now so that you'd shape and mold us as your people in Jesus' wonderful name. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We'll give him all the praise. Let's thank him. Thank you, Father. Praise. Let's just sing praise.